When you invest in ETFs, your capital is at risk. This show is for professional investors only. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Thematic Matters, the new thematic investing podcast from Han ETF, Europe's most extensive thematic ETF issuer. I'm your host, Tom Bailey, head of ETF research at Han ETF. So for this episode, we'll be joined by Anthony Ginsberg, all the way from California. Anthony is the managing director of Gins Global Index Funds, but also, crucially, the manager of three ETFs created in partnership with Han ETF. These are the Han Gins Tech Megatrend Equal Weight UCITS ETF, its ticker being ITEK or ITEK. The Han Gins Cloud Technology Equal Weight UCITS ETF, its ticker being SKY with two Ys, so it's spelled SKYY. And also the Han Gins Index Healthcare Megatrend Equal Weight UCITS ETF, its ticker being WELL, WELL. So welcome, Anthony.
Great to be with you, Tom.
So to start, I guess we should go straight to the big question of the day, or the big news of the day, the sell-off in tech stocks we've seen so far this year. So given all your ETFs with Han ETF are relatively tech-focused, why should we still be bullish on these tech megatrends?
Yes, actually, it's true. It's been a tough period for tech, probably not as tough as it's been for the crypto winter that some of the Bitcoin guys are suffering. Obviously, tech did have a very, very good run. Since inception, our ETFs with you have actually done very, very well over a three-year period. But towards the end of last year, the PE ratios were rather high. If you look at our tech megatrend, we were averaging a PE ratio of around just north of 30, 31. At the moment, it's fallen back to much more attractive levels of around 21 on the iTech or Tech Megatrend PE ratio. That's the one that's got about 115 holdings. What we've tried to do, Tom, is to not time the markets. We've obviously taken a view that this is a space for the long term. These are growth stocks. There's some amazing companies in there, from Apple to Netflix to Tesla to a lot of other players across robotics, cloud, other innovative spaces such as cybersecurity as well, gene editing. And it's impossible to time these markets. So what we've taken a view on is to have equally weighted across a very broad spectrum. Case in point would be tech megatrends, where instead of trying to time particular sub-themes, we've got eight equally weighted sub-themes, and we're not trying to bet the house on any one of these. With inflation hitting all-time highs over the last 40 years, there's been a significant nervousness for growth stocks in particular, which have been hit. Although I have to say, in the last week, we're speaking here in mid to late July, we've seen a bounce off the lows. So actually, markets are up about 8 to 9% off their mid-June lows. And we're of the belief here in the US that inflation has probably peaked, and you'll start seeing numbers coming through that will be below the 9% recent prints, which should help the tech industry in general. In fact, just the last week or so, we've seen some very nice positive returns, both for the likes of Netflix, Tesla, and some others. And all three of our ETFs are actually off their lows by a fairly considerable amount. So our view on tech is it's a sustainable part of the stock market. It's a way long-term to get superior returns, but one can't time these markets. And again, we're not asking clients to put all their money into our ETFs. We see these as building blocks, particularly the megatrend tech ETF being the cornerstone or key building block, and upon which people can then buy additional cloud components through our cloud tech ETF, which has got 75 equally weighted holdings, or the healthcare innovation ETF, which covers just over 100 in the healthcare medical space, which are areas such as not just gene editing, but telemedicine and trackers or wearables, as well as digitalized analytics, etc. So I guess the simple answer is we've got a much longer term view on these disruptive economies, and we really believe that things like AI, robotics, cloud, cyber are here to stay. And actually, the fundamentals, Tom, in terms of the actual spending or growth, if you look at things like cloud computing, the earnings over the last and revenues over the last quarter were actually at records. The total cloud market grew 26% year on year from the first quarter of 2021 to first quarter 2022's numbers. And this is in terms of actual revenues. You've got something of the order of almost 50% of corporate IT spending now shifting to cloud. That number was around 20 to 25%, basically half, just pre-COVID. So there's an expectation in the cloud space that almost $1.3 trillion of revenues are likely to move to cloud within the next 3 years. So the fundamentals are all pointing positively, but there's been a lot of indiscriminate selling. We actually think that a lot of healthy, strong balance sheet companies will come back fairly strongly once the inflation scare subsides.
So. No, yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned in there about ITech's kind of several sub-themes. I wonder if you kind of give an explanation of kind of what these are, how this works, and then also how the different sub-themes have held up over the last few weeks comparatively.
Of the eight sub-themes, and the most well-known ones would be things like social media, cybersecurity, cloud. You know, we've also got future cars or slash electric vehicles in there. So these are all established companies. The way we've built that index with Selective is to take 15 of the leading players in each of these sub-themes, a maximum of 120 holdings, basically all equally weighted, and these sub-themes are equally weighted as well. So every 6 months, we rebalance the portfolio, so you never get overweight in a dramatic sense on any one of these sub-themes. If one is to run hard, let's say recently, about 2 years ago, blockchain ran hard. Well, that was one of our, it still is one of our eight sub-themes. It doesn't bet on cryptos per se. It's more on the administration and digitized ledgers. But we were able to take profits in those days by rebalancing everything back to an equal weighting. So just to run through them again, robotics and automation includes AI. We've got gene editing, cybersecurity, future cars, digital entertainment, which is online streaming, firms like Netflix and some other well-known players there, including online gaming companies that have shown tremendous growth. In fact, online gaming today is approaching five times the size of the Hollywood box office. So here I am in Los Angeles, and everybody gets fixated on Hollywood. But actually, online gaming is increasingly leaving Hollywood in the dust. And with 5G, almost 6G connectivity in Asia, particularly in South Korea, you see the move to mobile gaming. So interestingly enough, there's a linkage between digital entertainment, this online streaming, such as Netflix and HBO and Hulu, Disney Plus, and cloud computing. Some of the biggest users of cloud computing are the video streamers like Netflix, plus also the online gaming companies. Something that's very encouraging when you come to some of these sub-themes is how much overlap actually exists. Even Tesla is using cloud computing. You're actually able to unlock your Tesla car remotely through the use of cloud computing. And there's a famous case during a recent Florida hurricane where Elon Musk was able to essentially add additional mileage or battery juice to the Tesla cars that were sitting in Florida so that they could actually drive further and have longer distances that they could escape the hurricane. So we're very positive that this disruptive technology is here to stay. Work from home is actually powering cloud computing spending. And I mentioned a bit earlier in terms of the cloud growth. Cloud actually covers three areas, Tom. It's both the plumbing, the infrastructure, where you hear the big players being the likes of Amazon Web Services and Microsoft as well as Google. But then you've also got the whole application software apps for cloud, which is a giant industry as well. We call it software as a service. And then also platforms as a service, which are firms like Oracle that are quite involved in the platform side. So, we've tried to do it in a low risk manner by essentially in all our products, particularly ITech, taking the leading players in each of these sub themes. So these are all very established market leaders. And if you look at the comparison of 2001, 2000, when they had the tech bubble and the NASDAQ crashed, those internet companies were not sustainable based on cash flows. It's very different today when you look at cybersecurity companies and cloud companies, and even digital entertainment. They're earning revenues on a monthly subscription basis, and they've got a very, very healthy balance sheet. So we're actually expecting, with markets clearly being between 20 to 25% off their highs, we're actually expecting more M&A activity and having some of these healthier, bigger players pick up some of the middle market companies for a lot cheaper and more attractive valuations, quite frankly. There have been a lot of acquisitions just in the last year and a half to 2 years. You've seen the likes of firms such as Netflix getting into gaming as a Sony. Then you've also had big cloud players such as Microsoft buying Activision, which is one of the biggest online and gaming console players in the world. So, and Microsoft also has moved into digital healthcare, as has Amazon, interestingly enough. So digitization of healthcare is not to be underestimated either, particularly given the US challenges with the growing inefficiency and increased costs in healthcare.
Lots of investors kind of became interested in healthcare as a theme during the pandemic for obvious reasons, but arguably kind of that's kind of behind us now. But what do you see the next kind of drivers for healthcare and healthcare innovation that will capture?
A lot of the media and the exciting part of healthcare during the pandemic was obviously telemedicine, telehealth, and some of these trackers or wearables. Unfortunately, there are not that many companies in that space based on market cap that are publicly listed. In fact, two of the very largest telemedicine companies merged and became Teladocs. And some of those have actually suffered because in the healthcare space, particularly things like biotech and some of the telemedicine players are only expected to earn sizable profits well into the future. And as interest rates have continued to rise, and this is where inflation is bad for innovative health, it's really knocked for a six a number of these stock prices, because when you discount the future earnings ability of these companies at high interest rates, it brings their current valuation down. So obviously the key question is, how soon will the central banks stop the interest rate increases? Here in the US, we think we're probably going to end our rate rises sooner than in other parts of the world, because we actually have a very strong dollar, and it's most likely that we've seen peak inflation already here. But the more interesting long-term plays in healthcare, Tom, relate to digitizing medical records. And that's why you've seen two big deals recently, both Oracle and Microsoft buying up electronic medical record companies. One was called Nuance Communications that Microsoft bought for about $26 billion. Another one is mostly used by medical doctors. It's called Cerner, and it was bought by Oracle. It's used in the UK and in the US. It's quite a global player now. So the digitization of healthcare record keeping, we call it healthcare analytics, is a very exciting area. And obviously in America, we have an epidemic regarding diabetes over here with overweight kids and just the challenges of all the fast food, unhealthy diets. So we do believe trackers will become more mainstream wearables, including what Apple are trying to do with their Apple Watch. As you know, Fitbit was acquired by Google as well for a relatively inexpensive amount. So those are exciting areas. I will say robotic surgery increasingly allows patients to be discharged far quicker from hospitals, basically in about half the amount of time they would normally take to recover. So the incisions are so much smaller during robotic surgery that it's far more efficient, both for the patient cost-wise and also for the hospital to be able to discharge patients due to speedier recoveries from smaller surgical incisions. So those are some exciting areas. But I wouldn't discount also gene editing. Some people call it gene sequencing, which includes CRISPR technology, which was awarded the Nobel Prize about 2 years ago to two very famous researchers now, where they can actually edit genes and essentially become more mainstream in terms of bringing CRISPR to tackling not just COVID-related pandemic-type issues, but also going after more mainstream chronic challenges such as cancers. So we're seeing a lot of gene research linkages now with big pharma, and also going after areas such as mainstream chronic diseases.
And Anthony, you mentioned Apple and Google kind of involvement in the space. I've seen you write before about kind of big tech's movement into healthcare. Can you kind of give us an overview of that?
Yes, absolutely. Big tech in America obviously have been somewhat constrained by their immense size. In the case of Google, obviously in search, so we have these antitrust or anti-monopolistic rules. And when the Democrats came into power under Biden, it was quite clear that they would have to segue into other related areas. So big tech in particular have looked at the healthcare space. Amazon now own the largest online pharmacy or chemist, as it were, dispensing pills here. And when it comes to the likes of some of the other players, you've seen, I mentioned a little bit earlier, what Google have actually gotten a very large contract from one of the biggest hospital groups in the US to digitize all their medical records and to be able to do more efficient sharing of medical records across the US, because we don't have a national healthcare service. We've also had big cases such as Microsoft also getting into healthcare, as I mentioned earlier on with Oracle too. So we're not surprised by those moves. Healthcare makes up almost 21% of the US economy. So it's certainly a huge area of spending here, and there's no threat for big tech having any of their acquisitions squashed by monopolistic antitrust forces. So we expect a lot more in the healthcare analytics space, where big tech can really energize hospitals and medical facilities. One thing I've just mentioned, particularly during COVID, is that hospitals have all adopted big spending budgets in cloud computing to drive their telemedicine or telehealth services. So they're amongst the biggest users now globally, hospitals, for cloud in particular, and also now cybersecurity spending. So a lot of these areas that healthcare is requiring of digitalization, you find the big tech players have got significant experience and can really add significant value. So we expect more M&A activity in that space.
Thanks. And kind of just to finish up, you mentioned inflation kind of potentially peaking in the US now, which would obviously be good for the rate hiking cycle ending and tech stock. But also at the same time, it seems it may be coming at coinciding with the US falling into a recession. Obviously, the data's not doing the full picture on the data yet, as when we're currently speaking. But if the US and the world does go into a recession, how do you see this affecting your themes?
Yeah, well, the fundamentals, particularly things like cybersecurity, we don't see that being impacted much by a recession. Actually, the calls here are for a short, shallow recession. Interestingly, the US consumer remains pretty strong. But when you have an increase of fourfold in hack attacks, such as SolarWinds and the Colonial Pipeline and those meat factories that went offline, you realize that corporate CEOs don't even have a choice anymore. They have to spend money on, same way you spend money on insurance, they're spending money on corporate insurance, as it were, with their cybersecurity contracts. Similarly, with work from home not ending, and most of the millennials and younger generation, let's say Generation Zers, not willing to come into the office 5 days a week and wanting to have a hybrid schedule, it looks as though cloud will continue to be a big beneficiary of the work from home trend. And more companies recognize with the hack issues that they don't want to spend money building up on-site hardware. And that's why we do see this massive trend, regardless of a possible recession, where you'll get 50% of all IT budget amongst corporate enterprises going by 2025 the way of the cloud. So we are very positive on the fundamentals. Actually, just recently in the last week, we've seen both Tesla and Netflix post better than expected earnings results, and both of them bounced earlier this week, in fact, 10% respectively in terms of their share prices, obviously off recent lows. But what it shows is that the US consumer is not dead, and with upcoming election here in November, most likely the Republicans will trounce Biden's Democrats, which actually might be a good thing. Most of the Wall Street analysts believe that a split government here with the Democrats still controlling the White House for a further 2 years, but business-friendly Republicans controlling Congress, that that will give a fillip and a boost to markets here. So our outlook for towards the end of the third and fourth quarters is for a recovery, but it's predicated on the inflation numbers hopefully peaking, so that the central bank, the Federal Reserve here, not having to go all out and inducing a recession. So there is this question, can we have a soft landing in the US with interest rates only going up perhaps another percent and a half at most, rather than more dire predictions. So our view is, if the inflation prints start coming down, that these growth stocks across these tech sub-themes from cyber to cloud, the healthier players should be rewarded. These are very strong cash flow generators. They'll be able to pick up some bargains in the M&A space. And they are global players. I mean, we really are talking globally. Unfortunately, the strong US dollar may hurt some of their revenue numbers in the short term. We remain relatively positive that any US recession will be short-lived here.
Thanks, Anthony. And thanks to all our listeners. I hope you found that as enjoyable and interesting as I did. If you want any more information on any of the funds we have in partnership with Anthony, head to hanetf.com. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thank you, Tom.